If you live in the upper Midwest, you'll hear people often say, I'm going up north this weekend. They usually don't say I'm going to the lake. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they'll say they're going up to the cabin, but it's always going up. And it seems to me it doesn't matter whether it's north, east, west, or south. If you live in the Twin Cities, you're going to hear people say, I'm going up north. Now, the place I go to is actually to the east. It's over in Wisconsin. So in this podcast, podcast 934, we're going to do the up north story, the story of the relocation or dislocation of people who have connections to this area and live in big cities out east, whether it's Chicago or New York or Boston, or out west, Los Angeles, and are essentially refugees from those big cities. And have come here for the past few, many weeks or even months to do their work and not have to worry about being quarantined in the big cities when all that was going on. As the big cities open up, you know what I'm saying. So what's it like for those who have relocated or dislocated? And what is it like for the locals, the people who actually live here and have to deal with these people in off-season? What do they think? In podcast 934, Up North, the Bob Davis Podcasts. One of the things that you see when you're up here is you see a lot of really great property and you think, boy, I should have a cabin or I should have one of these cabins to rent out. And I'm going to give you somebody's name to help you with that, and that is Brenda at Auntie B's Rentals. So why do people sign up with Auntie B versus all these other people that do property management? First of all, and I know Brenda because this is what she does. She looks at the big picture and she puts herself into your shoes as a property owner. So whether you're looking for property to buy for investment, looking to rent or selling, this is somebody that you want to talk to because she really understands the business. First of all, you can call her at 651-600-7655. She wants to help people with investment properties, and this is how it works. She can help find properties, she can crunch out the numbers, and decide whether this is a value for you to purchase, both as a home investment or to find renters. And most realtors think they know this business, but they don't. You need a specialist, and this is what she does. She'll find you a house, she'll find tenants to live in the house, and she's a one-stop shop. So click on the banner that says Auntie B's at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So it's Auntie B's and Realty One Group, and she'll help you find investment property, or she can help you find a place to rent as well. Auntie B's. Well, I got to tell you, in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Uptown is really in the news lately, but let's talk about the Lynn Lake neighborhood. I'm really, really happy to have 36 Lynn Refueling Station, which is independently owned and operated in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis, which is just down the road a little bit from Uptown, because it's a great place. First of all, they sponsor great events. They're all about the neighborhood and the community. And not only are the guys at 36 and Lynn Refueling out to help the community, they got a great selection of food and great coffee in the store. But here's really the thing. Because it's an independently owned and operated station, they can get you a better deal on fuel. Remember 36 and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis and need something to eat or a cup or some gas. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. One of the things I've noticed about people's cabins up here is that everybody has one of these vehicles, either a Gator, John Deere, what they call a Gator, I guess, or some other kind of utility vehicle. And there are varying degrees of expertise when it comes to driving these vehicles.
You gotta put it in gear. There you go.
I think I've only driven this one time. Oh, man, how you doing? Is there something wrong? Am I in the wrong gear? I mean, seriously.
It takes a little, you gotta give it a little bit of gas.
Well, I gave it a lot.
No, you're going forward now. You're gonna go forward. It's not down. You haven't got it down. There you go. Now you need to go back. Give it a little gas.
I made him give
There you go. Yeah, you gotta get a little gas. Keep going. Keep going.
Making a funny noise.
It's okay. Just keep going. Now you turn it around.
Come on, Herb.
Floor it. You gotta keep the gas on it.
Well, we're gonna follow the gator up this dirt path. Follow the gator and this dog we call Murph. Murph likes to ride in the gator and he likes to run next to it. So Murph and Gator are heading up the lane, kind of dirt and gravel path. Where we are staying is just up the road. I'm staying at this particular cabin here, and then up the road is this cabin where we're going to go to dinner tonight. And it is funny because it's supposed to be peaceful up here, but there's people yelling and fireworks, and you can hear all these jet skis and boats in the background, and of course, like I said, fireworks. And the 4th of July is crazy because the guy across the lake does this really professional fireworks display, so we almost don't have to have the fireworks anymore. And then down the piece of the lake a little bit on the shoreline, somebody else competes with him. And then we got our guys here that are letting off silver salutes all night. So it gets a little crazy on the 4th of July. Not good for the dogs. And so this group of cabins has been really a place for my ex-wife's family. This isn't my cabin. I don't have one. This is where I've come for years and years and years, and where, when we got divorced, my mother-in-law came over to the cabin where I was staying after my ex-wife and my wife at the time told them we were getting divorced. And she said, you're not getting away from us, Bob. People think the lake is peaceful, and it is, but sometimes it can be awfully busy and loud. And we have had people in the family staying here for quite some time. My son's been up here for almost 3 months, and then of course I have nephews up here, and then I have relatives that live up here. So we kind of got the whole mix. We got the people from the big city who are media people, who are refugees and staying here, and then we've got the locals. And so we're going to talk to all those people about it. But a lot of my relatives work in media. I worked in media. It's kind of in the family. And of course, now that my son is doing it, and then my nephews are doing it, and then various people live in LA and work there, or they work in New York City. And now that the whole quarantine thing is kind of over with, at least for the time being, it's kind of interesting to be able to look back on it. And of course, some people came in late February and mid-March, early March, and some kind of just got here as we kind of figure out what's going on. And they've been here since. And it's really neat because, a lot of these kids that spent their summers here have spent most of the early spring here and now the early summer. And really, there was no one else here except them. They're adults now, but they got to kind of have the run of the place before the summer people start coming. And I wonder for them how this feels in their lives. I'm a little older than them. Obviously, one of these young people is my son. So yeah, I am older and I've had changes in my life, but nothing to compare with what they are going through right now. So how are the changes working with them? How are they handling that? And what's work like for them? You know, for most of us of a certain age, we worked in an office or we worked in a radio station or a TV station or someplace where you sat down at a desk and did work. They are doing all this at kitchen tables and in various bucolic settings up here at the lake. And it provokes a question of whether this is a change in life. And if it's permanent, obviously that's going to come up. But the other thing is this, it's really literally a whole change in speed. And how are they handling it? So we're going to have a little dinner. And as we get things ready and after, we're going to have some conversations, especially this question of how the locals handle it, because my nephew is a construction guy up here and a designer and an architect and everything else, and his wife works up here as well. So they've pretty much grown up here, and they have the perspective of the locals. Yeah, a lot of executives up here in the upper reaches, quote unquote, up north. And so if you happen to be one of those people who makes decision, if you own a company and you make things, or if you're in the decision-making chain of a company that makes things, you know that there's all kinds of talk about the topsy-turvy nature of the economy and supply lines. And so some companies are actually bringing their manufacturing back to the U.S. If you're in Minnesota, if you're in Wisconsin, if you're in the upper Midwest and you want to manufacture right in this area, don't forget Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit them at depotstar.com, DepotStar.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. The other thing is, while you're up here, you know, you see, again, as I was talking about with Auntie B's Rentals, you see so many awesome cabins, and you just get so many ideas for things that you can do to your house. And of course, at this time of the year, a lot of people want to change their deck into a 3 or 4 season porch. They also may want to get a new kitchen. And if you're in the right part of town in Minneapolis and St. Paul and in the areas, the lake areas around that city, you know, Whitetail Builders can help you out with your cabin as well. And a lot of times this is the time of the year when people start thinking, boy, we got to do it. Just a quick kitchen update. And that's what Randy loves to do at Whitetail Builders, because what they do is help you construct your dreams. And they will be with you every step of the way. So everyone raves about Randy Grabo's craftsmanship and his attention to detail and his integrity, and he will be there with you every step of the way, which means he's not going to hire a bunch of contractors and you don't see him again. Call Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801, or check him out online at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You'll see the work and you'll see what I mean. Whitetail's going to be there with you every step of the way.
You came from New York. You lived in New York for how long?
I lived in New York for 8 years.
And where did you live in New York?
The first 4 years I lived in Harlem, and the latter 4 years have been in Brooklyn.
And then the whole coronavirus thing brought you guys here.
Yeah, so we were inside our apartment for about 12 weeks. Going to the grocery store, of course, walks, the park, but as a whole, yeah, about 12 weeks. And then we were able to come out to Wisconsin, and it's been very serene and welcomed, and I don't want to go back anytime soon.
What do you like about it out here?
The first thing that you notice is that you don't have to wear a mask to just walk out of your house. I mean, if I'm in Brooklyn, I have to wear a mask, you know, rightfully so, to go to the grocery store, to the pharmacy, even just to take a walk. So when I'm here and I can just walk down to the lake, ooh, there goes a firework, or walk down with the dog somewhere, then I can, you know, I'm not going to see anyone, so I don't have to wear a mask. And that's the biggest thing right off the bat. And then otherwise, you know, we're getting time to, like, hang and recoup and have a little more space between our, you know, two-bedroom apartment, so.
And this is, it's not like you're in an urban area in Wisconsin. You're in the literally in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. You're in a lake area. So this has been a big change for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know the population of the town, but it must be pretty small. You drive 15, 20 minutes to get to the grocery store. Yeah, but it's a welcome change.
Is there anything lacking?
Yeah. I think the only thing that comes to mind is the wine selection. The wine selection is like pretty bad, but and the beer selection for him is pretty lacking. But otherwise, not much of a difference. I mean, our grocery store has you know, some more brands we might like, but other than that.
And then when you first came up, there really wasn't anybody else up here, a couple other people.
Yeah, there was a couple people at a different cabin, and we saw them from a distance, and now more and more as the summer's going, more people want to come, so it's getting more populated, but that's okay. We can still social distance.
Have you had time to, like, has your philosophy of life changed at all?
Throughout the quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, just being here.
And just being here. I think it's definitely certified that I want, or sorry, signified, is that the right word? That I want more space, that it would make a big difference to me to have a little bit of an outdoor space, a patio, something in New York, which is hard to come by, but that would, I think, make a difference for me, for my psyche, for my well-being, to not just have the fire escape. I have not worked since March 18th. I work as a freelancer in the commercial production field. So I work on film and commercials, and I haven't worked since March 18th. And things are starting to open up in New York, so hopefully, you know, in the next couple weeks, something might start to happen. I don't think the protocols are really locked in, but I've been receiving unemployment, which I am grateful for. But my boyfriend has been able to work the whole time, which is great.
We're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Oh my God, it's so many. I can't even, I've been watching them surround your head and your headphones, and ugh. We cannot eat out here. It's too bad.
No.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
What's in there? What's in there?
I think it's like a vegetable medley.
Is this hot pot?
Oh,
it's just bad.
I don't think that thing's right about the temperature.
Here's the thing. Here's a question. Do you use technology to determine, or do you use your senses?
Technology. Just your human intuition?
Yeah, to know when the chicken is
ready.
That's
the grill master's conundrum right there.
I think
these
grill
things...
could use their...
My intuition is saying these things may be done.
Oh, that one works again. Oh, it was...
Now what are you putting on?
Hi, mosquito. Into the grill. I'm putting on zucchini and yellow squash.
Probably about the right
thing. Left out of the rain.
I hope so.
Look at that.
I'm not a grill master, but I love the way things taste.
You know how to do that? Where you just... Here,
it gets bigger.
Yeah. That's tight.
So you came from New York as well, though you're from here. So you kind of grew up here in the summers and that. But you've been in New York for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I spent my summers here. We were coming from Minneapolis.
Right. But you were in New York for how long before you had to relocate?
Well, we were there, we locked down the second week of March, I think, and we were there for 12 or 13 weeks before we left. And we're staying currently at a cabin that my mom kind of oversees, and so I had made plans with her weeks in advance to come out. And then, as the risk of getting, like, COVID through surfaces and that kind of transmission went down, I felt more comfortable getting a rental car and driving, and so, yeah, we made it work, and we've been here now for 2 weeks, actually, on the nose.
So how was the trip out? Like a Stephen King novel?
Actually, surprisingly normal. Like, we drove through Chicago, and lots of foot traffic, and that must have been around the time when they opened up patios for restaurants, because everybody was serving food and drinks on the patios. So, strangely normal. Honestly, but.
And you've been working from up here.
Yeah.
How's that been going?
It's fine. I mean, they have pretty reliable internet up here, actually. So it hasn't been an issue to do the Zoom calls.
And what do you do?
Answer the emails.
What do you do?
I'm a production coordinator for a docuseries on CNN.
So lots of Zoom calls and organizing and things like that.
We're in post right now, so we're not shooting anything anymore, obviously. So it's a lot of just calls about trying to figure out ways to arrange pickup interviews, because obviously, because of COVID, we can't do conventional interview setups and shoots, so we have to and figure out creative ways around that.
Having spent a lot of your young life here, summers, every summer, pretty much, whether you wanted to or not, what was it like when you encountered the locals?
It was a little bit of a shock, I guess. I guess that's a little dramatic, but I was a little surprised that it would have followed that stereotype so closely. But yeah, I will say, on a slightly slightly different note, this is the closest summer I've had up here to my childhood summers for probably close to a decade, because being up here for 2 or 3 weeks straight with family members kind of drifting in and out very closely resembles how my childhood summers went.
How does that make you feel?
Nice. It's eerie to think that there's... It's surreal at times because you're like, oh, there is a pandemic. But in a strange way, it's so familiar that, you know, it feels great.
Springs are not going to help. That might as well be sugar water.
Doesn't have to be that close. This actually smells good, too.
It does.
I don't like the way it makes it. I don't like that greasy feeling in my arm. That's why I don't like using it.
I know what I was going to tell you about. I was thinking, or I told Lisa, I was like, man, I was Russell's age when I met Bob, probably, or remember you. So it's like Russell to Andrew right now was like me to you. And I was like, and I told him,
wild.
Like, that's, you're like how I, like, he's like how I remember you.
People do mistakes all the time. All right, what's my thing?
You lived in New York for how long before the whole COVID thing started?
2.5 years.
And where did you live?
Midtown Manhattan.
Tell me about your experience of the whole experience of deciding to leave New York, because you came up here really early.
I heard they were going to lock the city down, and I thought it was probably wise to leave when we had a chance to. There was like some rumors going around that maybe it would be like a mandatory lockdown, not a voluntary lockdown, and so I decided to rent a car that day. And I had already been isolating for, I think, a full week at that time, and I planned to continue isolating when I got up here. And so I left then, and I came up here, and I've been here for 3.5 months now, I think.
So you were the earliest guy up here before anybody was up
here. Yeah, when I got up here, there was not another person within a half mile of me. I was like, there were like empty houses on empty houses surrounding me, and it was just me.
How did that feel?
It felt kind of great. It was fun.
You've actually thrived up here. You know, you didn't feel lonely or anything. You just kind of hung out.
No, I mean, there were some lonely days, but I think having the space was a great like contrast to the kind of like, you know, day to day in New York, and, you know, just being able to hang out and walk around and, you know, explore random stuff and kind of, you know, do feel like a kid a little bit again, you know, like kids wandering around and, you know, in the woods. That was fun.
So you're a video producer, and how did your work change? Is it easier, harder? It didn't seem, is it made any difference?
No, it's the same. It's not a problem. It, maybe even easier.
How have you gotten along with the local people?
I've loved it. It's been great. They're awesome. They helped me re-register my car here. They're like, post office people are great. I've like, people have never been so nice to me.
So this idea that there's some kind of resentment to people that have sort of been refugees from the big cities, is there any truth to that? Do you think, have you felt any pushback?
Well, I think that there is truth to that, but I'm a local now, so.
And you also spent.
The real locals are laughing at me.
But you spent your summers up here.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a local, but I've like, yeah, there's definitely pushback. No, I think there's just a lot of, I think there was some anxiety up here. It's felt like, maybe.
Well, I just mean, you know, you've lived up here all your life. So you've been, you are one of the local guys up here.
Yeah.
And what's your reaction to all these people showing up that, you know, that were sort of refugees from places like New York and Minneapolis and Chicago?
Well, I think at first everybody was a little bit nervous, but... you know, there's a lot of space for everybody here. It's not like it's New York, right? Like, we can all have cabins and keep our distance. It's not a tough thing to do in rural Wisconsin.
So you've dealt with this. I mean, it's not like this is something to deal with. This is part of life up here, is that people have cabins and they come up in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're used to outsiders, so it's not like it's a new thing. I think people were just a little bit apprehensive at first because, of course, the disease, the COVID, as we like to call it.
You don't hear any rumblings amongst your friends about it?
Not too much. I mean, I think a lot of people don't really take it seriously to begin with, just because we have, again, so much space between us, you know, that we just don't worry about it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
No, you gotta say
it. Bless us, the Lord. Said.
Go.
Bless us, the Lord, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, Christ our Lord. Amen.
Nailed it.
Grace, I've been to church like 4 times.
You've gone more than us.
That's okay, Laura.
You've lived up here a long time.
Yes. Since I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow. So what do you think of all these coronavirus refugees coming up here?
I guess I feel like people that have cabins here and homes, it's like a second home. And I haven't had any feeling like people shouldn't be here, that they're not welcome, or that they should stay in the city where they, to me, it's like if you own a cabin here, your family has roots here, you deserve to be here just like anybody else.
Did you feel like there was a backlash among people that you know that live up here?
Yes, too? Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. I think some family members that, you know, some people in our family talked a lot about, you know, well, people from other places are going to bring it here. And I have felt like it was it was inevitable that the virus was going to be in this community, or that it was already here. So I just didn't feel like, you know, somebody coming from New York was bringing it with them, and that was going to be the reason why it showed up suddenly in Polk County.
Has life changed much for you since this thing started? Because you know, you have to be self-reliant to live up here, but you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think life changed a lot for you guys?
Life didn't change a lot for us. I mean, my husband and I were joking when the shutdown first happened that our life was pretty much the same, because he was going to work as usual. I had already worked from home most of the time, so I was still, and my I work for a nonprofit that's an essential service, so I was still working and still working from home, and our son is homeschooled. So everything seemed the same for a while. But as it drug on, it felt like we realized that we do rely on the library or activities for our son, or going out to eat at a restaurant, or to like stopping in to get coffee just to get out. And it felt very lonely after a while.
Yeah, and that was kind of in the depths of winter too. That was,
yes,
you know, February, I guess it was February, and March,
yes,
early March,
yes,
which up here may as well be winter still.
Yeah, which we always joke that that's the dead time here anyway, and it seems like spring comes and suddenly people come out of hibernation and there's life here again. You know, we drive around and suddenly people are at their cabins, or you see people walking on the roads, whereas months go by and it just feels gray and desolate and like no one's here anyway.
Yeah, and it isn't amazing now. It's like,
yes, now it's beautiful.
It's so amazing. It's,
yes,
it's
yes,
great.
And right now people seem to be in kind of, it seems like people are behaving like the virus is gone. Like we're, you know,
no, we were talking about
that
today.
We've moved past this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And who knows, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's a matter of time, but interesting that in Polk County, the confirmed cases have gone up pretty significantly even since Memorial Weekend. But it's, you know, it felt more daunting back in during the shutdown times. People were more afraid now. And now they're watching cases climb and feeling like, oh, it's not that bad, so we're not worried about it.
Well, it's time to head back down the gravel road. And this is, it's kind of funny because I spend a lot of time in the summer in my bare feet. And of course, you can tell that I'm not in my bare feet now because it's pretty dark and walking on stones is difficult. But if you walk along the side of this road, you get into that soft kind of sandy soil and you can walk in your bare feet, and then your feet toughen up to the point where you can almost walk down the gravel road, you know, later in the summer with your bare feet. and you can still hear things going on, but later in the evening, this is a little bit more peaceful and a little better for the dogs. They get really upset with the banging of all these fireworks and things going on. But later in the evening, it's a little more lake-like and a little bit more peaceful up north. So the thing that's on my mind, and this has been a great sort of relaxing Father's Day weekend for me, but the thing that's on my mind as I think about especially these young people is obviously one of the things that's on their mind is this question of whether the coronavirus is going to have a second wave or if it is coming back. We're seeing stories about spikes in some of these places that have reopened. And the real question is whether it's going to come back in New York City and Boston and Los Angeles and Chicago, because then that's going to bring everybody back up. And I wonder what happens if this essentially becomes permanent, if life changes permanently. Will this be the new norm, and how does life change? You know, working from truly remote locations, which I think we've proven is as long as you have a pretty solid internet connection, and we've had to start looking at things like mesh networks and buying, you know, Wi-Fi boosters and things like that, because when you have two or three people working in a cabin, that's an issue. And so someone works out on the porch, someone works over here, and if you don't have the right Wi-Fi, you can't do the Zoom conference, it pixelates, and you got to go to another room and things like that. There's a whole protocol of how you handle it when someone else is on a Zoom conference. And what about kids when you're on the Zoom conference, things of that nature. So there's a lot of truly foundational changes going on. And how do you make the shift, at least in terms of community, from working in New York City or Los Angeles, where there's a media community and that's how you get jobs, that's how you network, to a decidedly rural life, which is a different life. My grandnephew, which is the son of my nephew, he's grown up here, and he has a trail cam, and he has a snowmobile, and he's got the sort of the self-sufficient life. And then you see the city people, and they, you know, we don't know what to do up here. And these are, you know, learned skills. And in view of the news in the present time frame, in podcast time, this is the weekend in which 12 people were shot in Uptown, which has always been a relatively peaceful place in Minneapolis and St. Paul. With people moving to, suburban areas, you see all these stories about the trends of people moving to suburban areas. Is this movement to the suburbs and really the exurbs and way out, like the lake or up north, is this at the expense of urban centers, especially if these young people can make it work? Yeah, I'm going to head in and watch a movie, but I think I got to print some stuff. And thank God I have a new print cartridge from Cartridge World, because you pay so much money for the print cartridges. And you guys know Cartridge World sponsors the Bob Davis podcast. So I'll just quick tell you, Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. They have curbside delivery in Maple Grove and free delivery on qualifying orders. And you can get a new printer as well on qualifying orders. Call them 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, I think we got, I think they're watching a movie in there. I can kind of hear it right now as I walk up. But let me just quick say thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com with the streaming. Also, you can click on an individual podcast, get the blog, and click on a link and listen to the Bob Davis Podcast of your choice. And I've activated the blog more. In fact, you should check out the new blog that I did about tapping, which is a pretty cool way to relax and to deal with issues. And that's a little blog that I put up there. And don't forget the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. So go to thebobdavispodcast.com, look over on the right-hand side of the screen at the top, and you will see a little thing that says sign up for the Bob Line. That's the newsletter. Click on that, sign up for it. And we're going to open that up again, and I should have a new newsletter coming out pretty soon here toward the end of the month. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify for Android devices. Let's see, what's the other one? PodMN and many, many more. And of course, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for the shares and retweets on social media and LinkedIn as well. Not so much the comments, don't care about those. You guys have probably heard why. And thanks for listening to podcast 934 Up North, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Poop.
It's neutralized all the code in the entire building. Nothing will open anywhere now. We have to abort.
No. We go all the way. Okay? You guys get started on the lab. I can open this.
I think it's that guy from the walls. Yeah, it's him and the woman. Look, just send everything you got in the area right now.
Personal entry code for the lab, it may still work.